love it. You are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
Welcome back to the Three Black Men podcast, and we're talking about the cross.
Yes, indeed.
And suffering, yep. And things related to our worship, right? So, Trey, when you think about the cross being the number one image that people think about when they think about the Christian faith, what are some things that go through your mind, and maybe how have some things changed? You know, so Trey can start, but that's to you as well, Samuel.
Yeah, man. So I come from one of them traditions where you could pretty much bank on every sermon taking you to Calvary at some point, right? Like Calvary, when we know we post a shout. And if a message is flopping, we just gonna take a shortcut, get to Calvary soon. And I get why to an extent, but I recently, like in the past couple of years or so, I've had this struggle where I worry that we are emphasizing and celebrating the wrong part of the Jesus story, because the cross is actually a sign of barbarity. And it's rough for me to celebrate that when I think what we're supposed to celebrate, like that even if we truncate the gospel to just what happens during Passion Week or whatever, the resurrection is where there's celebration, because in the resurrection, the power of the cross is negated. But what the cross actually symbolizes, like even in the story, is the total depravity and barbarity of the systems that we create to control people. It's a state-sanctioned lynching and execution in a literal sense, like a torture device. And so it has occupied this weird part, even in our theology, and not just in the Black church tradition, right? There's this line where, oh, if you were the only person, then Jesus still would have died for you. Like, okay, that's a dope statement about Jesus's commitment. But if we're talking about the cross particularly, that means that if I'm the only person, I had to put him there, right? And then that's saying something about me. So I think I've come to this place where I recognize the cross as a sign of God's commitment in Jesus to the wholeness of people. Like, this is what he was willing to take on, even when he knew that he would have to face the most like insane torture imaginable as a result of that commitment. Like, that's what I can read with the cross, even as I lament what the actual cross means in terms of the cruelty of humanity. Yeah. And I have to find my celebration in the power of the resurrection. It's me personally.
Go ahead, Samuel.
Yeah, so I was raised in a bit of a fire and brimstone type of theology. So for me, growing up and for a good portion of my adult life, the cross really brought a lot of guilt. Living under the weight of trying to live a life that doesn't put Jesus back on the cross. Having that over, like, that was for a long time my perception of the cross. Before, I'd say probably, I don't know, maybe the last 3 or 4 years. Now when I think of the cross, it's very barbaric. I read the story of Jesus a lot differently. I don't feel like guilty or anything about that, but I honestly, when I think of the cross, I get a little anger and a lot of frustration because of how it was taught, more than anything. More than what it symbolizes. Most of my feelings about the cross are about how it was weaponized against me, and how it's and used to oppress folks that would call themselves Christians. Is that's mostly what I feel now when I think about the cross, and when I talk about the cross. Anytime the cross is brought up amongst Christians, I always make it a point to educate, like, nah, this, you know, the cross meant this. Just because, like, that, if there are others that were living under the same weight that I was, be free. Right? Be free.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't glory in the cross. And I know that can be a forceful statement. And before you quote that one scripture at me, don't. exactly. You know, because it's always one. And I was the one Christian. But we are actually, stop it. Let me just stop you right there. I said I don't glory in the cross. And I think that way because the cross, what significance does the cross have to people who have been under crucifying realities their whole life? Those who are multiply marginalized, those who suffer night and day in different ways. And so the cross has been weaponized. And there seems to be this glorification in a way that we have to imagine us being there at this place of suffering, and we have to call into our minds. And what I want to say is something that Trey and I have talked to for years. Those who have suffered all their lives, you know, those who are going through hell, we don't have to imagine the crucifying realities, right? And so the crucifying realities and the systems that supported crucifixion, that whole complex within the Roman Empire, that whole thing is not something that I myself glory in, right? And I don't find salvation there at the foot of the cross. I find sadness. I find barbarity there. I am one with the Lord in his resurrection, right? And there is things that I can glean from God's commitment to wholeness, but I don't stay there, right? That's me personally. Go ahead, Trey. You're going to say something.
Yeah, I think what you said to the moment, like, I'm risen with Christ, right? I'm resurrected with Christ. I'm one in the Lord there. Even hearing you say those words just brought up something for me, and this thought that the miraculousness, like, of the cross, if there's any redeeming quality that I can find in this theology of the cross, it's that the idea that God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, embodied in human flesh, would live a life that could end in such a place, right? It's that, oh, wow, God identifies with us who live a crucifying reality, who live under the thumb of colonization. And that's how you end up being resurrected with Christ. That is actually, and like, that is good news to the oppressed, that God came and identifies with us and that the power of God overcomes that. And as I'm saying that, I now realize that people who cannot relate to a crucified reality then have to devise ways to identify with the crucified one, saying that precisely is what I deserved, right? Yeah. Like, that's where penal substitution, like, oh, he took on the penalty that I deserve. Wait, hold on, let me stop right there. Who told you you deserve that penalty?
Yeah,
where did you find that idea, right?
And it's all over the Bible. I
be specific, right? Because somebody brings up Isaiah 53:10 or 12, whichever, where it's like, oh, it pleased God to lay this burden upon him. Interestingly enough, Isaiah 53 is one of the most quoted passages in the New Testament. And not one single author in the New Testament, not one person who provided a gospel account, not one of the epistles cites that verse. So the idea that this is something that God ordained as just punishment for us is an actual later invention and interpretation of the text. Like, it can be as valid as we want, but the idea that we deserve that, like, no, you just made that up, right? Like, you just
made that up. Yeah, and I think, you know, I credit a lot of womanist thinkers and theologians for really getting me to think through, especially I want to say Joanne Marie Terrell and Dolores Williams really, their work has really got me to think of for Black women, suffering is not salvific. And what hope relies for the Black woman at the foot of the cross, right, is something they kind of point to, and suffering in and of itself is not something that kind of their point has been, we're already suffering, right? And I think the call to suffer further for Christ is something that there's a disconnect, that I've really sat through, is like, is this God's highest calling? Is not just the passion event, but then the preaching afterwards, that we should also come and die, that we should also in every way seek to be suffering in some way to prove our allegiance to God. That's not me. That's what I say. I'm not glorying in the cross. That's not Robert J. does not. I, yeah. Anyways, go ahead, Sam. You were about to say something.
I just thinking about the cross, man. I think you talked about Rob, how, oh my gosh, I done lost my train of thought. Go ahead, Trey.
No, but this idea of the cross being something that we should glory in as opposed to reflect on and even lament and even weep over.
Yes.
This idea that it's something that we should like, oh, isn't that amazing? I find okay, I don't want to sound hyperbolic or judgmental when I say this, but like in the strictest sense of the word, when we look at religion as the significance that is ascribed to signs, symbols, stories, people, or whatever, that's bad religion. The idea that the creator of heaven and earth wants us to understand ourselves as deserving of that type of punishment. Like the wrath of God is expressed in that way. No, your God is cruel. If God's response to injustice is the prolonged torture and execution and public display of marginalized people, then your God is cruel. That's bad religion. Don't, my bad,
And
Rob, go ahead.
no. I was gonna say it's not just bad religion. What that produces is churches that crucify, churches that manipulate, churches that publicly execute in a variety of ways. So when we look, so I was just thinking about that arc that you were building, and you said it's bad religion. I'm like, and there lies most of the abuse scandals that we're looking at in our churches.
And I got my train of thought back. So
Hey, found it. There
even
we go.
in
Look at
that,
God.
yeah, even
Resurrect
on
him.
the
Won't he
flip
do
side of that, right? Even on the flip side
it?
of that, the way people, specifically abusers, will manipulate the teaching of the cross to teach forgiveness
Yes.
and force forgiveness on people, right? Who don't deserve it, right? For one way or one reason or another, right? It's very it's maddening for me, because you catch the abuse on both sides. It's a double-sided abuse. You get the abuse from like, no, you have to suffer, you should suffer, and it brings salvation. And then you get the other side of, well, when you suffer from other people, you also need to forgive them immediately. You know what I'm saying? And thinking about like that, even wearing the guilt of like, I'm not able to forgive that way, right? I am a slow processor of emotions. So on so many different levels, feeling like I'm not able to live up to the standard of somebody who's not able to keep Jesus off that cross, right? Like in my living. Anyway, it's already done, but still, like, what's that? Y'all ever heard somebody throw that scripture at you? Or, oh, you shouldn't. What is it in Hebrews where it talks about crucifying Jesus
Thank
again?
God
Like,
again, yeah.
yeah. And I'm like, is that? I don't think that's the correct use for that. But let me try to live so I don't put him back on the cross again. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny because in that same vein, when we talk about crucifying Jesus again, I think that's a valid lesson. That's a valid thing to do, but we use it in the wrong way a lot of times. Because in order to crucify Jesus, that means that we have accepted this as a reality. Right, it means that this is a form of punishment that we have accepted as just. So when we talk about crucifying Jesus again, that means that we are literally in the process of affirming systems of thought and ways of being that will take the most vulnerable yet righteous among us and torture them. That is what we're doing. And I think that we miss so many opportunities when we then dress that torture device in as somehow expressing the righteousness and wrath of God. That is demented. It doesn't make sense. And that's why I've gotten more vocal recently in expressing to people like, oh, yes, we deserve to be crushed by that cross instead of Jesus. What? No, nobody deserves. That's the point of the story. Nobody deserves that because there were two other people who were condemned on the crosses with Jesus. And one of the dudes was like, yeah, we deserve to be here, but Jesus doesn't. And Jesus turns to him and says, you will be with me in paradise. The idea that we've accepted that as even if somebody did commit a crime, that level of torture is righteousness. No, that's wicked. And the resurrection actually condemns that level of thinking. It says that you don't have that type of power, right? And so I think there's a lack of imagination that's often exhibited when we just say that, oh, it's in the Bible. It must be good. It must be part of what God willed. And no.
Yeah. And I think what we're advocating for is not disrespecting the passion events, right? Like that. I don't think that that's what any of us are saying, right? Like, I think we all take our faith very seriously, very introspectively. It's meaning, our spirituality is very meaningful. It, you know, one of the things as I'm listening to you all is people emulate the God whom they serve, you know, whom they imagine, right? And if the God that you imagine is one who glories in suffering, whatever way you dress that up, whatever way you make it, he doesn't, if you've been saved, then he just wants your good. But before that, he will crush you, but like, he doesn't want to, but he kind of does. And like, the way to get to him is you got to die all the time, right? Like, however you
but
dress
it's all
it up,
for your good, I promise.
But it's for your good, I promise. No, we see people emulating that God whom they imagine, right? And so part of what we are pointing to is, could God be more than what you have imagined, right? I think that's part of our whole podcast venture, is God is bigger than what we have imagined, both smaller and bigger. And so...
I literally wrote a book.
Exactly, right? Yeah, exactly. Boom, nice plug. Get Trey's book. But like, God is infinitely more kind than we give God credit for. And I don't believe that my highest good from God is to make myself feel guilty about the cross. It is to join in Jesus's ministerial vision, his life, his resurrection. I can live differently, but I live still in crucifying realities. God is not calling me to suffer more. God is wanting to do things in my life to lift me from the ashes. That's the God who I've come to know. Right. So, any other thoughts before we close, fellas?
I think that was a good place to
just reiterating the thought we've already said before, man. You know, you don't deserve to be crucified. That is not the message of the cross.
Hey. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We appreciate you rocking with us for another episode of Three Black Men. Here's the part of the show where we ask a favor from you. Now, earlier I mentioned a couple of ways that you can support us by joining our community over at patreon.com/threeblackmen. We have multi-tiered support options, and you can get bonus content. If you don't want to do that, you can submit a one-time contribution by finding us on PayPal at 3blackmenpodcast@gmail.com. But we ain't here to tap your pockets. Here's a few ways that you can help us out without spending a single dime. If you could stop what you're doing right here, right now, and make sure that you've left us a review and a rating. Don't just give us the 5 stars. Go ahead and write out how much you love this show and tell everybody about it. Do it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you at. Make sure you leave that rating and a review, and that's going to help even more people join the fun over here. Thank you so much. I knew God loved you for some reason.